Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. And joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for joining us, and we haven't even chatted since DeAndre Hopkins announced that he was going to visit with the Titans. Your initial reaction when you heard the news, do you think DeAndre Hopkins is a good fit for this Tennessee Titans team?
Well, I wasn't surprised when he announced it, I guess. I think we had kind of talked about, you know, should the Titans be interested? I think there was clearly some past history there with Tim Kelly or Mike Vrabel. My other reaction to it is I actually think it'd be a great fit for Hopkins personally, because, I think he would come in, kind of bring instant credibility. I think he would probably be somebody that much of the passing game was, you know, kind of focused and revolving around. Not positive it's necessarily the best thing for the Titans. Just like the direction that they're going, a player with his age and the amount of time he's missed the last two seasons. So I think it's one of those scenarios where, I could see it working out, but I feel like it would be a better fit for the player than it would be for the team.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, do you think that he is taking these visits, like he took to Tennessee, like he's taking with New England tomorrow, because he's genuinely interested in being a Titan or being a Patriot, or is this DeAndre Hopkins' way of raising the market around the league?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both. He probably does want to make sure that he's happy somewhere. He's made a lot of money. I think it'll still be a big factor in the decision. But, you know, I think that, trying to evaluate, okay, like, do I want to be there? And then also, like, the other side of it is, making it appear that the market is maybe stronger than it actually is. So I think those things kind of can both be happening. And I think the other aspect of it is in terms of what the money ends up being, you know, because of the last, you know, the missed time the last 2 years, obviously big part of that was suspension, you know, and the erratic quarterback play because of injuries in Arizona. And then quite honestly, in fairness, even some of his time in Houston, you know, I think that you could get really different opinions in terms of what somebody thinks the market for him should be. Much like people, I think, were surprised at the amount of money that Odell Beckham got in Baltimore. I think you could end up seeing a scenario like that where he maybe, you know, gets way more money from one team than any other team would even consider giving him.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, looking at this, and I think time is of the essence. If this was, you know, March, April, then I think a player can take his time. And I think in March and April, I think he would have been able, say if he wanted the $15, $16 million, if he was on the market then, I think he had a better shot at getting it then than he does now. But with that being said, is it going to be critical for him to get into somebody's camp as quickly as possible? Even though I'm sure he probably wants to take the visit to sort of drum up some interest from everybody, but also you're putting yourself further and further – well, you're putting yourself closer and closer to the date of camp starting, and you want to try to get in the building as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that, like, training camp to me seems to be the time, and that doesn't mean, like, day one of training camp, but I just feel like, you know, a player with his experience, different coaches he's been around – I think that he's a guy that if it ended up being, you know, first or second week of training camp, is that okay? Like, probably not ideal, but I think that's fine. I do think what happens is we get, especially this time of year with the mandatory mini camp, you know, I think we get really hung up on, hey, guy's here, guy's not here, and is that a big deal or is it not a big deal? And I tend to think for veteran players, this mandatory minicamp is not a big deal. The season is long, and I mean, so much so that people never remember what happened week three when you start playing football in December. So, you know, never mind, you know, a mandatory minicamp. So I actually think he's got a little bit more time. Look, injuries could happen in these minicamps. You could have an injury that happens early in training camp. And so I don't think I'd be in a huge rush if I were him.
Now, do you expect him to sign with whoever before training camp starts? Because I think ultimately, once you start eating up training camp days, that's when there's going to be a problem. I could think of my time going to the Jets. I didn't get there until I think like the first or second week after camp had started, and I was playing catch up basically the whole first half of the season, really, or first two or three games of the season.
Yeah, and I think that, and don't you think too, like who are you going there with? Like, how familiar are you with the guys that are there? Like, so let's say he goes and signs of the Titans, and it's Tim Kelly, and it's like, oh, yeah, I remember this stuff. Or it's Bill O'Brien. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember this stuff. Like, that to me is very different than, hey, you're going to go to Kansas City. They got a busy room as it is. And, they're not installing at your pace, right? Like, they're doing what they do. So, maybe even Buffalo for that matter. So, like, I do think, yeah, look, where you go and how familiar you are, that I think could play a huge role into, how effective you could end up being.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, you are the general manager of the Fighting Hasselbecks, brand new NFL franchise.
Well, let's go.
What are you offering DeAndre Hopkins?
The Fighting Hasselbecks,
and what,
I
and
like
what team
that.
Colors? What team colors will you have?
That also is important.
Oh, man. I don't think that I would be comfortable signing him to longer than a 2-year deal. Maybe I'd give him a 3-year deal, but maybe 3-year deals with like an out after two, there'd certainly be some incentives. And then I think in terms of what the market would be, look, I guess if top tier number one receiver money for the young guys is pushing high 20s, right? That's where the money is now. A year, I think you've got to be way off of that, and I probably would be, I think in order to sign him, you've got to be over 10 a year, would be my guess. I think that's probably what he wants, and so you're probably in somewhere in between 10 to 15. It's a pretty good range, but so what does that look? I mean, it sounds like a lot of money for a guy who's missed a lot of football the last 2 years. So, the moral of the story there for me is that if the Fighting Hasselbecks had the ability to not be in that market, they would stay away from it.
All right. We'll get into more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
All right, Tim, let's hit you with a couple of the red flags that we have talked about. And you just mentioned sort of your ballpark for what do you think it'll take financially. So here are the red flags. You tell me your level of concern for these. 31 years old, if you look at track records of wide receivers, especially with a little bit of an injury history here, it's not real good. It's not like there's nobody that's ever had a great bounce back season. D-Mace had several really good seasons, although he had zero injury history at all. But how concerned would you be about a bounce back at his age?
Very concerned. Age and injury history, the two biggest kind of determining factors when you talk about signing somebody in free agency. So the fact that he's older for a young man's position and then has had a significant injury and then also just missed time otherwise, that for me is a significant concern.
What about this? D-Mace brought this up, and he and I and Caroline, very careful on how we couch this, right? But when you see, and this is under the category of red flags that you have to investigate, you see an injury followed by a suspension for PEDs,
Yep.
You do wonder how difficult. We brought up Taylor Lewan as a reference. Sometimes that's really not a good sign about the lengths of players trying to do to stay on the field. And again, we can't know exactly what it was or why it was, but that would have to be a concern, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely a concern. And I think that, look, whether you can get to the bottom of it or not, before you're saying, like, all right, we're going to sign you to this contract, paying you, guaranteeing you millions of dollars, okay, were you not getting better? Were you not coming back from it? And so because of that, did you feel desperate? And did you go down a road that, you know, you shouldn't have done, you know, gone down? Like, yeah, there's no question that that is going to be on the back of everyone's mind as you address that scenario.
Okay, and then we broke down his numbers last year, post the injury, post suspension. Mm-hmm. Three mm-hmm. games with Kyler Murray, not, you know, pretty good numbers. Maybe not quite mm-hmm. his peak numbers, but not bad. Then there was a pretty decent drop off with Cole McCoy, and then they fell off the cliff, probably not surprisingly, with Trace McSorley sure. quarterbacking. Yeah. So how do you factor that in? If you're DeAndre Hopkins, I'm sure you're trying to sell that.
Yeah, you're definitely trying to sell that, and I don't think that's a hard sell. I mean, I could hear it in the tone of your voice as you address the different quarterbacks. So, like, that to me, I don't think is hard. I think the thing that will stick out is when he's running next to people, you know, when he's running and a DB's running alongside him, he doesn't look fast. Like, you know, and I'm not saying, like, I know exactly what he runs right now, but, like, when you watch him, and I think it starts to happen, he just doesn't move the way he did before. And that doesn't mean he still can't be good. There are plenty of guys that lost speed, but they just became kind of better technicians at the position, and he's got amazing hands and he tracks the football well. And so, you know, maybe doesn't create the same separation he once did, but that doesn't mean he still doesn't, you know, can't have value to an offense. But to me, that would be the bigger concern, is like we've seen it from guys where it's like, look, your legs just have gone. They just went, you know, and it happens to people. And like, so to me, I feel like that's what it looks like when I watch him run.
Now, all right, I'm going to throw like a good pitcher mm-hmm. here, Tim. I'm going to throw a changeup off of all these DeAndre Hopkins fastballs, but. One of the things going on around the league that's really, really interesting is the running back market. We saw Dalvin Cook. There's a lot of rumblings about Joe Mixon. I mean, all around the league, it looks like we saw James Robinson get released. Yeah. Yeah, so they're all over the place. It's so interesting how it's almost like the Titans are the last of the Mohicans, right, who are investing big money in a running back with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and I think that they're an example of why other teams are looking at it and saying, look, he was awesome when they got him, you know, and no one was going to blame them for signing him. But if somebody would have been willing to trade for him this summer, they probably would have done it, right? But there wasn't anybody. So I just think that, look, that's another position. I mean, it sounds horrible, but it basically is like, look, we're going to run your wheels off, and then we're going to move along. Like, that is a chew-you-up-and-spit-you-out position. And it's really tricky because, like, look at the Giants, for example. Like, Saquon Barkley touched the football over 350 times last year. Like, think how much more that his, like, in terms of involvement in your offense than any other player besides your quarterback. Like, you know, a running back can have as much of an impact on an offense as any other player outside of quarterback. Like, you can't say the same thing for a receiver who, you know, maybe gets the ball thrown his way 10 times in a game. So that to me is significant, but I think that what you also have to kind of pay attention to is like the wear and tear. I mean, it's brutal, you know, it's, you know, for a long time, it used to be fullbacks. It was like, look, we'll find somebody else to, you know, put a neck roll on and jam their neck, you know, for a living, you know, next year after we have this guy do it. Right? Like, that used to be that position. I feel like that's running back now.
Now, with that being said, I was going to ask you a question, Tim, about, you know, volume for DeAndre Hopkins. But Willie brought up something with the running backs that's interesting. And I heard Saquon Barkley sort of allude to this about, you know, the franchise tag and, you know, it's where it's at. And, you know, I'm not asking to reset the market. I'm just asking for my true value. Is the franchise tag doing the – because across the league with every position, everybody has sort of the base salary or the average salary that you would pay the top two or three. But is that hurting the running back position specifically? And does the NFL need to – or the NFLPA need to rethink the franchise tag for the running backs?
Yeah, here's why it's killing them. Is that there are really only a couple of really special running backs, right? I think Saquon Barkley, it's fair to say, like, he's a special running back. And you just go down the line of, like, look, you can even say that, you know, there was a stretch when Le'Veon Bell was a special running back. And the Steelers want to put the franchise tag on him. And he's like, no. I'm not like other running backs. Like, I'm an offensive weapon. I'm not just a running back. Like, I'm different. Don't treat me as a running back. Like, look how much you split me out. And, you know, it's, and similar things have happened in other positions, D-Mace, and know exactly where you're going. Remember Jimmy Graham? He's like, hold up, wait a second. I'm not a tight end. Like, look at me, guys. I'm in a 2-point stance split off from the formation. And so I do think because of, like, what the league has done with running backs, because there aren't a ton of, you know, guys that are as, you know, gifted as Saquon Barkley. So what now happens is that number is lower than probably Saquon Barkley should get in terms of the amount of just influence and impact that he has on that Giants offense. So, yeah, it's put him in a bad spot. But that's, you know, in some ways it's like that, like, is the NFLPA going to, like, are they going to go change the rule because there's three unique players at the running back position? Like, I don't know how they would get that done. And I think that but I think that that's definitely what's happened for sure, is that there aren't other players to raise the water level for the position.
Yeah, you're right, and it's going to continue. I think it's going to continue. That number is going to continue to go down when it comes to the running backs, and it seems like that may be the only position that, considering how much they mean, because these guys are, you're not having a running back on your team unless he's like a Derrick Henry that can't catch passes out the backfield as well as run between the tackles, as well as a breakout guy once he gets in open field. There's not too many teams that are using running back solely the way Tennessee Titans use their running back.
No, yeah, and so think about that, right? So that position is, like, Derrick Henry's position is different than Saquon Barkley's. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I get it. They're both running backs and all that. But, like, they don't play the same position. Like, they really don't. Or they don't play the same role on a team. Like, Derrick Henry's, like, hardly ever on the field on third down, you know, unless it's a short yardage situation. Well, that's not the case with Saquon. Like, he's just as valuable to them, you know, in later downs as he is in early downs. You know, and I think that, so if you just start to go around the league and be like, all right, well, so who are those players that it's all the time? Like, Jerick McKinnon, what Jerick McKinnon did for the Chiefs is not the same thing that Derrick Henry does. Like, he plays, you know, every seventh snap. Like, it's totally different. So if you look, you're all right, well, all right, Saquon's unique. Christian McCaffrey plays a lot of snaps, and they use him in a bunch of different ways. Travis Etienne's probably headed that way. Like, I do think that, you know, you're not going to run into a bunch of guys. Like, and I think that the roles, just like roles of tight ends, you know, roles of tight ends are drastically different. You know, the Patriots tried to do that with Julian Edelman, where they're like, no, he's not a receiver. He's a slot receiver. It's like, hold up, wait a minute. Like, there was never any distinction before. Now you're trying to make a distinction. So, like, look, maybe we go down that route, where, you know, you've got to be considered an every down back, and there's a percentage, you know, for how many third downs you play or third and four plus. I mean, all this stuff's tracked, so there's be a way to find it out. But I do think that, you know, that's really the only way that the guys that really have that much impact and influence on an offense get rewarded.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, just circling back to our DeAndre Hopkins conversation, you're no longer the GM of the Fighting Hasselbecks. Yeah, you are a wide receiver now, and you just got cut by the Fighting Hasselbecks. So now you're looking around trying to find your next landing spot. For you as a wide receiver, which team is more attractive, the New England Patriots or the Tennessee Titans as currently constructed?
I think the Titans are. And that's why I think that the fit is better for Hopkins in Tennessee than in New England. Like in New England, like there are other faster players, younger players, guys that they've invested in, guys that have a different skill set and role there. Whereas I think if you end up in Tennessee, look, there's very little commitment to the players on that roster at the wide receiver position outside Treylon Burks. And so with that being the case, you have an opportunity to come in and kind of stake claim to like, no, I'm the guy that we're going to revolve a lot of this stuff around.
Tim, appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. And I'm glad that Tim Hasselbeck said that. Because that's not a sentiment that I feel like I've heard a whole lot around the league. There's a whole lot of Patriots love going on around the national media. We will get into that coming up next. And, of course, your phones as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by the New Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today, 1025-1063, The Game.